brought to you by Penguin.
The House with Nine Locks by Philip Gray. Read by Anna Wilson-Jones. Hi Halwain Zong un Lidekane. Aldi dat Horde wo Behem sein. Master Halwain sang a song. All who heard it went along. A princess one day heard the air, she who was beloved and fair. She stood before her father then. O father, may I go to Halwain? Oh no, daughter, no for sure. Those who go are seen no more.
Nin hi doctor, nin hi neat.
Di de wat han in kieren neat. From The Song of Master Halwain, 14th century Flemish folk ballad. Chapter 1. Brussels, February 1952. The dead man had been taken away. The only thing still living in the charred skeleton of the warehouse was a tiger-striped tabby cat with demonic yellow eyes. It showed no sign of having narrowly escaped being burned alive, except for a sooty smudge on the bridge of its nose and a tuft of singed fur at the tip of one ear. The animal acknowledged Major Salvatore de Smet with an indifferent stare before vanishing among the debris. The cat had seen everything, most likely. It was a shame it couldn't talk. It would have known where the fire started. It might have seen how. It might even have been able to explain how a night watchman had come to be inside the building. A man called Valinden, whose heavily pregnant wife was due to receive the news about now. Husband and income lost in one night. It would have saved everyone a lot of trouble if that cat could talk. The site was slowly filling up. The fire brigade seemed in no hurry to move on, and half a dozen officers from the municipal police were wandering about, securing a perimeter and taking names. The rain was easing up, but a cloying chemical stink clung to the air. Where Valinden had been found, just inside the main doors, lay a blanket, a large purplish smear visible across the top. According to the ambulance crew, the night watchman had lived just long enough after their arrival to utter the word Lisbeth, his young wife's name. Major de Smet's deputy, Sub-Lieutenant Toussaint, 1 week in the job and not remotely useful, was picking his way through the doused interior, his tunic loose around his lanky frame, a handkerchief pressed to his nose like a maiden aunt with an attack of the vapours. "I don't need a deputy," de Smet had said when told of the appointment. But Colonel Bedouin, his superior in the Federal Gendarmerie, had remained unmoved. "New ministry policy. Senior Flemish-speaking officers are to have French-speaking deputies and vice versa. An issue of public confidence. We must move with the times." "What am I supposed to do with him?" "I don't know. Have him take notes." Since when have I ever needed notes? De Smet had not been boasting. He had learned his catechism by the age of 6, and could enumerate all the kings of Israel in order, along with their lineage and deeds. In his first year at school, he had passed the time learning the latitude and longitude of every major city on the classroom map. Helsinki, 60 degrees north, 25 degrees east. Buenos Aires, 34.6 degrees south, 58 degrees west. Once learned, nothing was forgotten. "Well, if the worst comes to the worst," Colonel Bedouin had said, "you could send him to hold your table at the Comme Chez Soi." But de Smet did not have a table at the Comme Chez Soi, or any other restaurant for that matter. As everyone in his section knew very well, he ate lunch at his desk, or not at all. He left Sub-Lieutenant Toussaint at the warehouse and turned his footsteps to a building on the other side of the street. With its sandy brick walls, pitched roofs, and circular windows, the Federal Engraving Bureau had the look of a medieval monastery. The presses were elsewhere, but it was on these premises that the printing plates were prepared for all kinds of state issuance, banknotes, bearer bonds.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?